One Easter morning, a woman was on her way to church when her car broke down. I wanted to be late for the special service. She ordered an Uber to pick her up. Car arrived and she quickly jumped in the back. Halfway through the ride, she asked the driver a question. The driver didn't respond. So she leaned forward and tapped the driver on the arm. The driver let out a loud scream, swerved to the other lane, almost into the car, slammed on the brakes and skidded over to the shoulder. The woman driver sat in silence for a while from the shock of what just happened. Finally, she apologetically said, "Wow, I'm so sorry. I had no idea a tap on your shoulder would alarm you like that." He says, "No, you didn't do anything wrong. Just this is my first day driving an Uber. Before this, I drove a hearse." Wow. You know why we're here today? Because of Jesus.
Came out of this tomb, that's right.
On Sunday morning, over two centuries ago, everything changed. So let's do something a little different this Easter, right? I'm gonna make a statement. And I want you, after I say that statement, to say, "Because of Jesus." The sting of death is gone.
Because of Jesus.
We are victors.
Because of Jesus.
We are overcomers.
Because of Jesus.
We are more than conquerors.
Because of Jesus.
Guilt is gone.
Because of Jesus.
Fear has fled.
Because of Jesus.
We are called children of God.
Because of Jesus.
And we are called friends of God.
Because of Jesus.
And so today we celebrate that everything has changed. Why?
Because of Jesus.
Watch the video.
From in the beginning was the Word, to it is finished at the cross. That is Jesus. And this is Easter. Because of Jesus, the sting of death is gone. Hope is the hero now, and joy makes sorrow jealous. Because of Jesus, we are victors, overcomers, and more than conquerors. Guilt is gone. Fear has fled. We are set free and made pure. United in cause, perfected in purpose, givers of good news, of grace and mercy. Because of Jesus, we are called children of God and the church on the rock. We are friends of Jesus and brothers and sisters in faith. Heaven is waiting, and we have assurance for our souls. His sacrifice justifies. His love sanctifies. The gift of eternal life is free in His name. Because of Jesus, there's peace in our hearts, pardon for our sins, and pouring out to our neighbors with radical generosity. Because of Jesus, everything has changed. We are changed from the inside out, and it's all because of Jesus. This is Easter.
Thank you, Jesus.
So let's read one of the Gospels describes how they describe that day everything changed. John chapter 20, verses 1 through 10. Early on Sunday morning, but it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one to whom Jesus loved. She said, "They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they had put him." Peter and the other disciple started out for the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He stopped and looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there. While the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. And until then, they still hadn't understood the scriptures that said Jesus must rise from the dead. Then, they went home. Picture this. Mary goes to the tomb. First thing in the morning, maybe before sunrise, around sunrise for sure, to mourn the passing of her Lord and Savior, her beloved teacher, only to find the tomb empty, his body gone. Maybe someone took it to an unmarked grave site. Maybe someone took his someplace unknown. No one really knows. Now, what's interesting about this fact that Mary got there first was women's testimonies in that time of the day, really they carried, in that ancient world, they carried absolutely no weight. You could say there's testimony, and they like, whatever. So here, Mary comes, she sees, she runs to Peter and John, and, you know, it's probably one of the reasons why the disciples wouldn't give much of what she said any value. I mean, she just comes, I saw the, he's gone. And they're like, okay, and they take off running because they're not really sure, do I believe this Mary woman or do I just, and so they go to find out for themselves. They're not really sure. And another reason I think that it's important that's in scriptures that it gives an account, it really helps squelch the idea that the story was fabricated. No one's going to write a woman was the first. Knowing the testimony didn't mean anything. Knowing that, I mean, they just wouldn't put that there. They wouldn't lay that. If they're going to make the story up, they'd make it sound believable. And so the writers just wouldn't have wrote that a woman witnessed it because it would make that testimony so much more unbelievable in the process, less credible. But Jesus changes everything, doesn't he? So Peter and John take off. They run to the burial site. They find the linens lying around. And if they didn't believe Mary's words then, they definitely believe them now. They see they're true, and Jesus is no longer in the tomb. Something big had changed. But the scripture tells us they did not yet understand the magnitude of what had changed. As stated in the video, we are, and as we are today discovering, Jesus changes everything. And I don't have, you know, time this morning to cover everything Jesus changes. We would be here all day and then some. I understand a lot in my life, I'm sure in yours as well. But let's look at three things that changed because there was an empty tomb on that first Easter morning. First thing that changed is that there's peace in our hearts. Picture this. Peter and John returned to be with the other disciples. So they went back and they went home. So they go back home. They are there, they lock the doors because they're afraid the Jewish leaders of the day, they're afraid that they're going to come find out. So they lock the doors behind them. And late that night, this happened. John chapter 20, verses 19 and 20. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. The word translated fear is phobos in the Greek, and it means to dread or be stricken with fear. That's the fear they had. They were stricken with fear. This was their condition that morning. That's why they ran home, locked the doors for fear of the Jewish leaders. They were stricken with fear of what they might say, what they might do, whatever their idea was. But I don't know about you, but if for some reason I'm sort of stricken with fear, I'm only locking the door. I mean, if I get a phone call or see on the news that some prisoners escaped from jail and they saw in my neighborhood, I'm locking the doors. I'm locking the deadbolt. I put a piano in front of the door. I mean, I'm making it almost impossible to make sure he gets in. That's just me. I don't know about you, but I'm just going to, and maybe that's what they did. We know for sure they locked the doors. That's what Scripture tells us. Then Jesus walks into the room. He speaks this word, peace. And I don't know, but if the doors are locked, someone that wasn't there is now standing there. Peace isn't the first thing that comes to my mind. I don't know. It's just not the first thing. But then he shows his wounds, shows his side, says, look. And then they realize it is him. And we get to see a transformation right before our eyes. We get to see this transformation that these frightened followers of Jesus had to a peace that passes all understanding. In a moment of time, they become, as the Greek would be understood, overjoyed to the point of rejoicing. Jesus arrives. Peace arrives with him. And I don't know about you, church, but there have been so many times in my life that Jesus showed up. And he brought peace with him. Help me through a situation, through a struggle, through a problem, through just something that would have normally set the average person on edge and just said, peace. Aren't you glad he brings peace? So Jesus says, peace be with you. And that is no insignificant greeting offered by Jesus. Peace be with you is a statement of what Jesus just accomplished. He is bringing peace with him. Peace between the Father in heaven and his children on earth. A peace that Paul would later describe as indescribable. What a transformation. But this wasn't the only transformation that day. Remember Mary, that one that the disciples left at the tomb? They sort of left her there and took off and back home. Well, let's head back to there and check on Mary. John chapter 20, verses 11 through 18. Now Mary stood outside the tomb, crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in the Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. So Mary is grieving. Alone. Not just for the life of Jesus, but for the life that this body that was seemingly lost as well. Have you ever found yourself overwhelmed with a circumstance, a situation, a problem, something in your life, just overwhelmed, engulfed in that circumstance, that situation so deeply that all you could, that grief I could do is sit and cry, and you wonder, where are you, God? I think that's where Mary found herself that day. Without hope, without help, alone. Possibly questioned everything she had come to believe. Yet still looking for Jesus. because he changes everything.
Amen.
And in that moment, she hears a voice. One that in her current state of mind, she does not recognize. Then one word changes everything. Mary. I've heard that voice somewhere before. I've heard that voice. She heard that name all of her life. She heard it just from time to time. But outside that empty tomb with a familiar tone, she hears this name, this person speaking her name. She turns up and cries out, "Teacher." I may be wrong when I read this, and this is just my opinion. It's not like, you know, written in scripture, but I can almost picture Mary like, you ever see those videos when like someone comes home from the military and they don't expect them to come home and then they realize that they run towards them? I think that's how Mary felt. Like, and Jesus says, "Oh, don't touch me yet, I'm not ascended." I mean, I think she was that excited, she just overjoyed, she had to just come to meet him. She just had to come see him. It's almost like that video when they finally recognize them, they run towards them. I can imagine hearing that same thing. "It's him! It's him! He's alive!" And in that instant, her grief turns to joy. Her confusion turns to peace. She can't wait to tell others what she's seen. "Seeing the Lord." So she runs home, runs to Peter and John to find out where they are. Maybe you can relate to Mary. You've experienced that deep down feeling that the Lord is nowhere to be found. You've prayed and it seems like your prayers are, you know, not even reaching the ceiling. They're just stopping well before that time. Seems like he's nowhere near your situation that you're going through. You feel like you're all alone in your sadness and your peace has fled. And if that's you today, allow the words of Jesus that he said to his disciples on that first Easter morning penetrate your heart on this Easter. "Peace be with you." Because of Jesus, just like Mary, Peter, and John, we can experience peace in our hearts. We can have peace in the midst of our storms.
Yeah, right.
We have peace in the midst of every situation. We can all because of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing that changed I want to share with you is this. We have pardon for our sins. Pardon for our sins. Now, most of us like the idea, welcome the idea of more peace in our lives. We may not really grasp the need of a pardon. A pardon frees someone from legal consequences or blame for committed offense. No matter how many times Jesus told his followers that he came to die for their sins, they just never seem to grasp it. They just never seem to understand. Luke 24 tells the story of two friends that were walking home on that first Easter. Jesus shows up and walks with them, but they don't recognize him. As they complain and they question everything that has happened, Jesus tries to close things up for them again. We read this in Luke 24, 25, and 27. Change, change, change. Did it change? It stuck.
Oh.
Again, stuck. I'll have to get back and figure out because I have a couple more videos I want to play yet. Luke 24, 25 to 27. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scripture concerning himself. Now first, aren't you glad? You might want to shut that video, shut the problem down, restart it, and get back to it. If it's not changing, you'll have to, probably have to get back to it again. First, aren't you glad you are not one of those two guys who Jesus said was foolish and slow to believe? Second, wouldn't you like to be one of those guys that heard Jesus explain what they said about the scriptures? It's like, I'm not sure I did that. A good look at the Old Testament shows us that sin into the world, and we needed to be pardoned and forgiven for our sins. The story of Adam and Eve is meant to help us understand that. And while that can be seen in a few places throughout Scripture all the time, I mean, we can read in Isaiah 53 where it says, he was pierced for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Punishment has brought us peace on him, and by his wounds we are healed. So after Jesus explained all this to the two guys on the road to Emmaus, he disappeared. They looked back to explain to the disciples what they had experienced. They're telling disciples that what took place, and in the middle of that conversation, meaning Jesus shows up again. Luke 24, 46 and 47. He told them, this is what is written, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. Listen, Easter isn't just a get-out-of-jail-free card. It's a radical, life-changing forgiveness. The resurrection means our slate is wiped clean.
Thank you.
And the charges against have been canceled. Let that sink in for a moment. We're not just forgiven. We're set free to live in the fullness of God's grace. Let me pause here and give you a little story I heard about a while ago. There's a woman who went to see a psychiatrist. And after a while, in one of her sessions, they arrive at a place where this woman, as a young girl, was in a classroom at school. And for some reason, not really known, the teacher just didn't care too much for her. In the school, she called this little girl up to the front of the class, gave her a piece of chalk, and she told the girl not to solve a problem, not to solve some math equation, not some things written on the chalkboard. No, she told her write down, she didn't tell her write down some answer to some thing. She told the girl to write on the chalkboard, I am a failure. And then to make matters worse, the teacher asked everyone in the class to write on the blackboard what they thought of this girl. As the woman's explaining this experience she had back in that classroom with her teacher, psychologist asked her, well, how'd you respond? How'd you feel? The woman tells her she was crying, couldn't look at anybody. All I wanted to do was die. Let me just add an important part of the story. The psychiatrist is a Christian, and so in his counseling, there's always a Christian perspective to it. He said to her, as a Christian psychiatrist, I know that something else happened that day, but you were not aware of it. But when everyone else had written on that blackboard, there was someone else in the classroom as well. And when he got up from his desk and he walked from, he didn't pick up a piece of chalk, he picked up an eraser. And he erased everything that was written on that board. Then he picked up a piece of chalk and he wrote on the blackboard, I love you. Who was that last one from the front? Of course, nothing but Jesus. See, here's the true church. Jesus didn't come to the world to rub it in. He came to rub it out. Give us a clean slate. Put a new spirit within us, a new heart. Create us as new creatures. So because of Jesus, we have pardon for our sins. And church, it doesn't matter if the stuff written on the board is true or not. If it's partly true, if it's half true, or it doesn't matter. Jesus wipes it clean. Our sins are remembered no more. Because of Jesus. The last thing I want to share that changes this, we need to pour out to our neighbors. Pour out to our neighbors. One thing I love about this third point is that it reminds us that Easter isn't about me. It isn't just about you. One of the most amazing things about Christianity is our call to love, serve, and help others. That's what we get to do. Jesus spent up 40 days here with us following the resurrection. He didn't just rise from the dead, give his followers a peace out, and head straight to heaven. And I think he did that because Jesus always sought to love, serve, and help others. Right before he ascended to heaven, Jesus said these words in Matthew 28:18-20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Don't miss that. The last thing Jesus told disciples to do was to pour out to their neighbors. Make disciples. He never said make churchgoers. He said make disciples.
That's right.
Dallas Willard paraphrases that passage this way. As you go throughout the world, make apprentices for me from all kinds of people. Immerse them in Trinitarian reality and teach them to do everything I commanded you. So Jesus calls us to pour out to our neighbors by helping them see Jesus in such a way they want to follow him as disciples. Pour out to our neighbors by helping them immerse themselves in a life filled with love only found in God. Pour out to our neighbors by setting the example of doing everything Jesus commanded us to do. More than once, the Apostle Paul used this phrase, "I am being poured out like a drink offering." Let's be a people known for our overflowing love. Not just in words, but in action. Easter, every Easter, every day really should. But Easter challenges us to have the same mindset as Christ, who didn't just talk about love, but lived it out in very sacrificial ways. The best ever. He died so that we might live. Because of Jesus, we are called to pour out to our neighbors. Jesus changes everything. If you find yourself today wondering if Jesus really changed everything, look at this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Praise be to the Lord, to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. It's a new birth to a new living hope. How? Through the resurrection. Because of Jesus. Those are not flowery words written by a poet. These are the words of an old fisherman named Peter. The same guy that was at the tomb with John, the disciple Jesus loved. The same guy that Jesus once referred to as Satan. Think about that. The same guy who cut off a guard's ear in the garden the night before Jesus died. He was the same guy that denied Jesus 3 times just before Jesus went to the cross. And he's the same guy who preached with such boldness just 50 days after that resurrection that thousands started following Jesus. Do you know why? Peter discovered peace in his heart, found a pardon for his sins, started pouring out from his neighbors because of Jesus. Jesus changes everything. Watch the video.
He is risen. 3 small words that brought the collective pace of humanity to an absolute standstill. He is risen. 3 words that shattered prisons. Words that shook the earth's foundations. Words that transformed a sense of utter despair into cries of pure joy and ecstasy. Echoes of history's greatest triumph that still shape our reality. Even today, we're assaulted by constant distraction, countless sources waging war for our attention, yet 3 words pierce the noise. In our hunger for validation, our desperate pleas for love and attention, 3 words calm our anxiety. In a universe spinning at breakneck speed, its inhabitants locked in an existential crisis, 3 words proclaim the purpose of our existence. He is risen. Lay hold of this truth and embrace the peace within. Yesterday, fear reigned in our hearts. Yesterday, we sat in crippling darkness. Yesterday, we suffered abuse and all the accusations of a broken world. But today, our King, our Healer, our Defender is risen. And this reality doesn't merely accompany us on a meaningless journey. This changes everything. For you see, if he is risen, then all other pursuits become secondary. All of our failures become insignificant. All criticisms and condemnations become irrelevant. There is only his word, his mission, and his infinite, unconditional love for you. Because he is risen, we look to tomorrow. Tomorrow we will stop defining our worth through status and social media. Tomorrow we will together build an everlasting kingdom. Tomorrow and every day after, we will dance in the radiance of a redeeming Savior who crushed death and set us free. There is nothing that Jesus cannot overcome. We know this because he lives. We know this because he is risen.
Easter isn't a distant historical event. It's a game changer for us right now. Amen.
Amen.
We have an unshakable peace, a radical pardon, and a call to overflow with love to our neighbors. So let's live in the reality of the resurrection. Not just on Easter, but every day. Showing these truths to shape how we live and love. Amen? Let's go out there and make Easter a daily reality in our lives. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for Easter. We thank you for your resurrection. We thank you for loving us. Greater love hath no man than this, he lay down his life for a friend. So thank you for that, Father. We get ready to do communion in just a few minutes. Sean, if you'll grab the stuff over there, you can help me out. Just grab one. I'll get the other in a moment here. Jesus Christ shed his blood to put a new covenant with his creation, to forever bridge the divine of sin that had carved a chasm between man and God. The covenant was prophesied by Jeremiah. He said this in Jeremiah chapter 31. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, and I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant which I had made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, although I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel. And after those days, says the Lord, I will put my law within them, and on their hearts will I write it, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. So God sent his Son to come to earth in human flesh, to walk with us instead of a sacrificial animal torn in two, to signify the covenant. God himself offered his Son, the spotless lamb, whose body would be broken as a sacrifice, the greatest sacrifice for you and I. The blood that was shed was a covenant promise for all eternity. Nothing would be the same. The blood of Jesus paid for everything. It washed us white as snow. So we can enter the presence of the Lord for ourselves boldly and without fear. The blood of Jesus gives us the freedom as it broke the power of sin over our lives. Never again we have to go to slice a cow on a hill and walk through it as a sacrifice. Never again would a priest have to go to the Holy of Holies and I'm sure if he'd come back out alive in order to rectify the sins of the people for another year. There was a shift in the atmosphere with the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus, it changed everything forever. And here's the thing. Jesus asked us to remember his birth. He said, remember his death. And so we take the bread, represent his body, which is broken for us. The wine as a memorial of what Jesus did on that old rugged cross as he laid down his life for you and I. So as you play the song, Desperate, I want you to come and share. Jesus remembers of him who brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light, who pardoned our sins and keeps us free from the law of sin and death. Everybody, feel free to come.
I'm at the end of myself and I'm tired, I've tried all that I know to do. And right now it's just by a thread, but I'm hanging on to you. I'm running out of hope, I need a miracle, and if I ever needed you, it's right now. Thank you.
thank you for this time.
Oh God, I'm desperate. I'm down on my knees. Send help from heaven. That's what I need. Redeem this wreckage and restore my peace. I'm not asking, I'm begging. Lord, come through for me. I need heaven and life.
Father, as you bless this day, Lord, as we celebrate the resurrection, we are truly grateful you're risen. Lord, you've risen indeed, and that gives us life, and that's more abundantly. That gives us the hope for a future. You pardoned our sins. Remember them no more. You threw them as east is from the west, and the city of God, you never bring them up again. God, help us to Lord, just honor you with our lives.
Yes, Lord.
Let's be a living sacrifice. Everything around us. Father, we thank you for all you've done.
Yes.
And Lord, we're just desperate for more of you. So help us, Lord, to walk in your faithfulness,
yes,
in your goodness. And we give you the glory, we give you the praise. And the church said,
amen.